content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Wanna go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Berrientos. What are you smiling about over there, Avi?
I just pulled my hair.
Oh, you just pulled your hair. V. Mendoza and Kelsey Ward. We're all in studio today. We have a fantastic show lined up for you, and I'm excited to be here. It is, oh my gosh, it's back to school. Thank you.
I'm sure a lot of parents feel that way.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love being a parent, but I like routine. I really like routine, at least a few days a week. And as much as I love summer, you know, there's something very special about all the seasons that when we change a season, you know. But I have to say, and Avi shares the same sentiment, that the fall is my favorite because football season.
The weather cools down. You get to watch some football on Sundays with your family.
Yep. And I cook and I've been nesting. You would think I'm pregnant. Like, seriously, I have been nesting so bad that it is ridiculous. I've even got panels in my bed that I'm going to go up to this place called Cutting Corners, I think is the name of it, off of Midway.
Mm-hmm.
You know my bed, how it has the white leather, you know, fabric, and they Velcro. You can pull them off.
Well, oh, nice.
So all of my cats that I have, but especially the three little kittens that lost their mittens back about a year ago, they destroyed my panels.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
They destroyed them. Destroyed them. So I'm taking them and getting them recovered because I'm not going to buy a whole new bed.
Man.
You know?
That's the one thing about cats. You love them, but they do the darnest things.
But you got to clip their nails regularly, and I hadn't been doing it, and so it's truthfully my fault. Yeah. You know, and you really should never, just for those of you out there, I need to slow down.
Yeah,
out there listening, I'm excited. I'm full of energy today. I am. I'm like bouncing off the walls, and because I cleaned house for like 6 hours yesterday, scrummed and cleaned and moved, you know, the refrigerator and all kinds of things, and just really.
It always makes you feel super productive.
It does.
I always love sitting in the living room after I clean and just like that feeling.
Lighting the candle.
Yeah. But I also did 100 squat thrusts this morning with 20 pounds in each hand and knocked them out till I, you know, was, till I lost my breath and then started back up and just counted to 100. But it's incredible how just that little bit of exercise.
That boost.
Just gave me such a boost. It mentally made me feel better and just supercharged. So if you're not exercising regularly, you really need to. Even if it's just a 15-minute walk or take some weights and just put them up above your head and do like some squat thrusts.
Move your body.
Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
I think so. So you go down into a squat and you have the weights up like this. I wish Daniel was here. I don't know how to describe this. I'm not very good at describing exercises.
I think we did those yesterday. Sure. The squat curl press kind of.
Yeah. So you two went to the. So listen to this, you guys. You'll laugh. Diamond, you'll die laughing. So V and Aviana went to the gym yesterday and worked out for 3 hours and they can barely walk right now. And that's
not
how
get
you
out
do
of
it.
Bed this morning. It was crazy. I had to mentally prepare myself.
It didn't seem as intense as we were going through the workout, because we kind of started with like 10 minutes of cardio and then we did like a 15-minute warm up and then the actual workout with the cool down, you know, did some yoga, you know, it wasn't as intense as it seemed at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did a lot of workouts that I don't normally do. So I think that was like a big part of it. Big part.
Well, you know, speaking of working out, so I got the latest issue of Vogue magazine. They send it to me every month, and it's September. Taylor Swift is on the cover, and there was a little article in here about pole searching. A pole-based movement wins over fresh interpreters from FKA Twigs to athletes angling for Olympian recognition. Its appeal goes beyond routine fitness. And then they write a story about it. They show a girl at a pool with a pole.
Like pole vaulting?
No, that's a pole in a pool where you go down the steps and then it's just any pole will work.
Oh, I had no clue what you were talking about. I got
That's
you now.
What you used to get in the pool. Okay.
Yeah. I have a fire pole at my house.
She does.
I do. And That's I used to go down it every morning, and it would invigorate me and scare the bejesus out of me at the same time.
Did you
because
ever?
Because I'm afraid of heights.
Have you ever climbed up? Or?
I have climbed up it before, but I haven't done it in a while. So that's going to be part of my new routine is going up and down the pole.
There you go.
I'll there take some video. How about
switch
that?
Switch things up a bit.
Yeah. That's well, you think about it, and you know, it's a real fire pole, like the kind they have like in a like a firehouse. Like
it's
one...
not like the thin kind of stripper pole.
Yeah, it's not a stripper pole. It is a real fire pole. But I'm sure you could do all kinds of exercises on it, right?
Oh, for sure. You see people like hanging sideways and like.
I don't know if I'll be doing that anytime soon, but you know, yeah.
So is that from like your second story to the first story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would climb that maybe like with a safety net.
You can climb it. I've got strong thighs, and so
I've climbed it before.
And so it's not that bad. It's not that bad. No,
maybe it's just thinking about it. I don't know. I feel like it'd be very
we'll
intimidating.
We'll experiment and let y'all know.
Well,
I'll have to try it.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you'll have to come over. We'll film it. But in Vogue magazine also, I thought it was really interesting on the cover. They had a story about sustainability. And I've always felt like this. When you shop, you should buy things that are going to last. And you should wait and save the money. And I mean, for some people, it's hard. Especially teenagers and stuff, young people, they want, you know, pretty things. They want them.
New things and we want them
new
now.
New things and we want them now. But it's a really bad mindset, really, at the end of the day, because it sets you up for a lot of addictive shopping and buying stuff that really contaminates our earth.
A lot of waste.
And I thought it was really cool. So they say, where is it? I've got it here. It talks about sustainability. Consuming responsibly means not only buying less, but buying better. More and more brands are making that easy by creating clothes that minimize waste without sacrificing cool. So, and speaking of which, it's kind of funny. And I was like, what? Is that Target in the middle of Vogue? They had a huge pullout in the middle of it that they, on September 14th, and this is going to interest everybody here for sure, especially all the women listening, that you know all the designer clothes that they did? Mm-hmm. And they would have, and it started, believe it or not, it's been 20 years when they first started that. And so they're having on September 14th, I didn't get all the details, but on September 14th, they are launching several of those top designers.
Their collections.
The collections
are coming out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I've always loved Target. And so,
Me too.
And you can buy good quality things. You just have to, you know, my mom used to say, if you've got good taste, you can shop anywhere. But you got to know the material, you know, and you buy things that are going to last.
This weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always find some good things.
Yeah, you can.
I was going to Target and come out with like so many other
things. An overload.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
the type of place.
Yeah, you go in to buy one thing. We're headed there tonight to get school
about.
Supplies.
I think about over.
Yeah. I got to get a backpack. But, you know, I had a really nice weekend. And one of the things that made it so lovely so we had these chimney birds. We found the first one. I think it was on Thursday or Friday. Vinny found it. And of course, Jeff was trying to kill it. Jeff tries to kill everything. He's the one that tried to kill the snake and save my life. So I can't be too hard on him. He's just a dog. You know, he's doing what dogs do.
Yeah.
But these chimney birds travel from North America to South America. Every year they go back and forth. And so in a couple of weeks here now, they're going to start going back to South America. And so here's the thing, but they're losing their natural habitats to nest over the years. And so
as the trees have been cutting down.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Over construction, you know.
Yeah,
and so,
right.
and chimney covers, okay? So my chimney cover got blown off like 2 years ago. It's in my barn. I need to get it repaired, but I'm not going to put it back on now after knowing what I know now. So my chimney is become a place for these chimney birds to nest every year when they come back from South America. They'll come back in March.
Aww.
And it's so crazy. So I went to Rogers Wildlife Rehabilitation Center and found they have hundreds of birds there that they have rehabilitated and rescued. And Kathy Rogers, who's the founder, who founded it, I think in 1989.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, you guys. And so I saw like bald eagles, not egos, and owls. I was trying to get to owl. I got to slow down, Bernadette. Slow down. Take a breath. But it was so exciting, and I just loved being around all these beautiful birds. They had cages full of pigeons that they've rehabilitated and blue jays, and then they release them back out when they're done. But the thing with the chimney birds was so fascinating. And they pick up sticks as they go along, and then they glue it together with their saliva, and they put them on the sides of things, like chimneys.
Yeah.
It has to be a vertical thing. And then when the bird gets heavy enough, gets big enough from mama feeding it, then they break the nest, basically, and they fall down out of the chimney, which is how two of them. So we found another one 2 days later, which was yesterday morning, and so we had to drive to, we've been there twice, to Rogers Wildlife Rehabilitation and Center twice in the last, like, 72 hours, but anyway, a lot of people don't know about them, but they do always need donations. They have a wish list on Amazon, and so that's kind of how I wanted, why I wanted to bring it up. Plus, it's a beautiful story. There's just so many success stories there.
I remember being at the house and being like, "Do you hear those birds in the chimney?" Like,
yeah, well,
that's what they are.
In my chimney,
and so now we know. And so, if you have a chimney where you hear noises like that,
let them be.
That's right. So we've got a fantastic show coming up. Sam Morris, he is the founder of Telos Lifestyle Coaching, dealing with life and sobriety. And Kelsey Ward is in studio with us. We're going to be talking about toxic black mold. Continued. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life. Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Great music selection. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, V. Mendoza, and our special guest today, Sam Morris. He is the founder of Telos Lifestyle Coaching. He specializes in coaching people through the early stages of recovery from addiction. Sam is also a certified mindset coach, a certified mindfulness practitioner, a certified personal trainer, and certified nutritionist. You can find him at his website, TelosLifestyle.com. That's TelosLifestyle.com. Welcome back, Sam. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. It's great to be back on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and it's really good to have you back on. I know when you were on last time, we had a lot of response, and that people really wanted to hear more about what you had to say and your story. And I think it's because you're just, you know, you're so down to earth, and you're very relatable. You're just a nice guy, right?
Thank you. I try to be. Thank you very much. The words mean a lot.
Well, I mean it. I mean it with all my heart. And this is a topic that I think so many people need to hear, whether it's yourself dealing with alcoholism or addiction, or it's a family member. We're talking today about dealing with life and sobriety. So can you share your story with our listeners, how you ended up dealing with life and sobriety?
Yeah. So one of the things that I relapsed quite a bit. I would go to rehab and stay sober for a little bit and then come out. And a couple of things that kept me going out, one huge one was going on dates. I could not imagine going on a date and not ordering a drink. So that would be a downfall of mine a lot. So when I finally did get sober, it just came down to a point where I actually took time off of a lot of things. I took time, take the time to myself, take time to learn about myself, and take the time to really feel comfortable in what I was doing and the knowledge that I can't go back to that drinking life no matter what. Like if a date asks me, what are you drinking tonight? I have to say sparkling water, whatever, and just own it.
Yeah.
You know, just own the fact that I don't drink. And if it comes up why, then get into it. But just the fact that you like wear it with confidence is a huge deal.
I know. It's funny. It's like, I was just thinking of the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And I have a point here.
Okay.
And where she says, what do you mean you don't eat meat? You know? I mean, and people do that about drink. What do you mean you don't drink?
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
They do the same thing. They put so much pressure on you.
That's
and also
so true.
In business as well, when you go to a business meeting, particularly if it's in the late afternoon or early evening,
and
you know, you're expected to order a drink.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, the thing about like, oh, what do you mean you don't eat meat? Like, that's what I used to think too. I used to think if you don't drink, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you drinking? Like, it's normal. So I had to shift that perspective and stop projecting. But as far as the work things go, if you can just like push through the first half an hour, everyone will have their second or third drink and they won't really even care anymore.
No,
that's
I know.
That's a huge thing that I realized.
That is true.
Well, it is true. And I do that when I get home at night. If I just get through like the first hour when I decide, okay, I'm not going to drink wine tonight because it's mama's little helper. It's my go-to, you know, and I never really get drunk. I have a couple of glasses, but still it's not good to do anything like that every single day. You do need to give your body a break from it. It just, you don't want anything to ever want to control you. Right, Sam?
Absolutely. Once you get into that point where your decision-making is not your decision-making anymore, that's when you recognize that, like, well, hold on a second here. Mm-hmm. And you reevaluate this. And I find, like, with my clients, that they talk about, like, that third or fourth drink is kind of where they get into, oh, that's just if it, three or four turns into 10 really quickly.
Right. Well, how did it start?
Go ahead.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was just saying, like you were saying, if you can just keep it to one, two drinks, you know, maybe three nights a week, something like that, and you don't get into the, you know, it's called the hijacked brain addiction, where your brain is literally hijacked to think that, like, you can start justifying having that fourth or fifth drink, and then after that, it's all bets are off.
Mm-hmm. When did it start for you? How old were you when you started drinking, and then how fast did it happen that it was out of control? Did it take a long time?
It took, like, it was about 15 years of addictive drinking or alcoholic drinking, but I actually started pretty late. I grew up in Vermont where I was a big tennis player, so tennis was a huge priority in my life and even all through college. And then from ages 23 to about 38 is when I had the steady decline through my life. And then from ages 33 to 38, that's when it was really bad. That's when I was in and out of rehab, DUIs, in and out of jail, some physical consequences, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you talked about that the last time you were on, and I think that's what touched so many people is that you were so transparent about all of it and the struggles that you went through. You had how many DUIs?
Five.
Wow. And did you get put in jail?
Yeah, I was in jail. The last time I got a DUI, I was in jail for 7 nights.
Wow.
And I had my puppy in the car with me.
Aww.
So the puppy, yeah, everything's okay now, but the puppy went to the pound and I went to jail for 7 nights.
Wow.
There's a couple of them that involved car accidents, and then the other a couple of them involved lengthy jail stays.
Mm. What do you want to say to somebody out there listening that maybe is in the situation you once were? Maybe a piece, just a little piece of information you can give them to start them on the right track.
So a lot of times people, when they see what they want, they can see where they are and that it's bad and what they want, and they don't know how to get to from here to there. So one thing that I started preaching to my clients and that I used was take the focus off 6 months or a year from now and focus on where you do not want to be. Like, just so for me, I didn't know what my life was going to look like when I stopped drinking. I didn't know what a year from now was going to be. So that left me open to any possibilities and left me open to taking suggestions. But all that I knew was that I cannot go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do things to work away, so it's a much easier pill for me to swallow or my clients to swallow, is that just knowing that you can't go back to what you were doing and just do things each day to move you further from that. And then what's going to happen down the road, 3, 6, 9, 12 months down the road, that will all take care of itself. But as long as you do the right things every day, everything will fall into place.
Mm-hmm. What kind of heartbreak did you have to endure to ultimately get on the path of healing?
The ultimate heartbreak was I saw my dad. I was in the hospital. It was after my last 2 months of drinking. And I saw my dad. My dad came in to visit me. I was in the psych ward, and my dad came in to visit me, and I almost didn't recognize him. His face was sunken. His eyes were sunken. He was discolored, and just I saw the pain on his face, and it's like I can picture it right now. It was something that it would kind of hit me, like the pain that I was causing other people. But that look on my dad's face was just so many levels of pain that I can't even imagine it.
Oh, yeah. As a parent, you want your children to thrive. You want them happy. And I can only imagine the heartache of dealing with that. So how did you have the sober conversation with your family, and what was their response?
Well, it's funny. The family members know. Like, they're close enough to you that they know that this should probably happen. They, I mean, most of the time they're pushing you towards it. I get a lot of people that will, the family members know, but then there's also the other side of the coin is that the family members are like, oh, I come from a big drinking family. That's all we do when we get together. If I show up at a family reunion or a barbecue and I don't drink, people are going to start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you kind of have to tell them, like, at first you can use excuses like, oh, I'm doing like a 30-day cleanse, or, you know, I'm trying to get back in shape, or I'm just kind of, I'm doing something for a little while until, and then all of a sudden, you know, 30 or 60 days go by and they just accept the fact that you're not drinking. But So there's things you can use in place. But the bottom line is, you, like I said at the beginning, you really have to own that this is what I'm doing now. This is what's best for me. And ultimately, it's what's best for the people around me, too.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that people that love you so much wouldn't want to jump on the bandwagon with you? And, you know, it's funny how there's so much judgment around this. It's really fascinating, yeah, psychologically, I think. But did sobriety change your career path as well?
Yeah. So I was in commercial real estate, which is, you mentioned, like, the drinking culture. It's, I mean, that's almost every day after work is going to network at the bars and whatever else, take clients out. So when I moved from North Carolina to California, my commercial real estate career ended and I got into personal training. And it was something that I had always wanted to do. And this one led me to the path that I'm now on, where I help people, coaching people to sobriety. But, you know, when I like I said before, like, I didn't know what I wanted in a year. I didn't know what a year was going to look like. So that left me open. And when I got to San Francisco, I had a window of opportunity to do this personal training thing. And if I hadn't just kind of given up what I thought my life was going to look like and then just kind of went with it, I never would have had that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, you know, I think I asked you this before. Did you go in and out of rehab a couple of times as well?
Oh, I went out of rehab. So I was in rehab in the spring of 2007 for the first time after my first DUI. Later that year in the fall 2007, I was in rehab. Then 2010, I was in rehab. And then I went to two more rehabs in 2012 when I finally got sober.
Wow.
So, yeah, like five rehabs, I think that is.
Well, and so, you know, what do you think about I think I've asked you this before, too, but what do you think about the 12-step program and Alcoholics Anonymous?
12-step program saved my life. Alcoholics Anonymous, it's kind of my medicine. The biggest thing that I get out of Alcoholics Anonymous is the fellowship, they call it. It's the friends. It's the guys that I can go to. The 12 steps are a great way to, like, uncover the past, fix the problems, fix any relationships you had. They give you the roadmap for that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing for me with the 12 steps is that I have guys in my life, five or six guys in my life that I can call at any moment, any time, if I'm struggling, and I can cry to them. I can yell to them. I can get mad with them. I can just be completely vulnerable with them. And that's the biggest thing that I've gotten out of the 12-step program, is the fact that being vulnerable will save your life.
Mm. Well, you know, Elton John celebrated his 29 years of sobriety in a touching post. He says, I was a broken man. This is just from a couple of weeks ago. He says, my sobriety has brought me everything I could possibly wish for, Elton John. And, you know, so people out there listening right now that are maybe dealing with the same things that you dealt with, you know, what do you want to say to them?
There's one thing that alcoholics say a lot. If you think you have a problem, you probably do. And if you think you have a problem, it is so worth just taking a look at, just giving it time to take a look at the problem. Because if you have a problem like alcohol in your life, it's not like other problems where, you know, it can kind of mend itself and go away. If you have a problem with alcohol, when you clear that space out, they're going to be amazing people, amazing opportunities, amazing experiences. They're all going to fall into your life seemingly unexpected, and they're all going to be 10 times the experience they were if you had kept drinking.
Yeah. Well, in addiction, there's all kinds of addictions, you know. There's drug addiction, there's shopping addiction, there's exercise addiction.
All kinds, yeah.
Yeah, there is. And so what do you feel is at the very root of addiction? Is it a lack of spiritual healing?
Spiritual healing is a big part of the recovery process. So yes, there could be, I mean, that's obviously lacking in the addiction and the addict.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of undealt with emotions. So for me, it was social anxiety. There's anxiety and depression that kind of go hand in hand a lot of times. But a lot of times at the root of addiction is something that you don't want to look at, something that you don't want to feel, something that you have covered up forever, just swept under the rug, that when you by drinking it away or doing drugs or whatever, it's swept under the rug, but only temporarily. And as it's under the rug, it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the addiction starts to take hold of your life and you start to have the bad consequences, the jail stays, the hospital time, whatever, it's going to compound whatever is underneath that rug that you've been sweeping under for so long. So it's a lot of just emotions that you want to run from that people use to mm-hmm. cover up, whether that's work, exercise, whatever, shopping.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on the air. It is. We're going to go to break, and it's so nice to have you on. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back. Everyone,
I would love to.
Oh, great, great. I love that. Everyone out there, this is Sam Morris is on the line with us. You can find him at teloslifestyle.com. We're talking about dealing with life and sobriety. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Sam, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you guys so much. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Okay, we've got Kelsey Ward coming up, everyone. She is a clairvoyant medium who is known for helping her clients find their true purpose and peace. We're going to be talking about toxic black mold. Continued. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Ann Morrison, one of my favorite songs. I think I'll do my sponsor shout-outs to Brown Eyed Girl. I listened to the song all the way here today, like 10 times, like a weirdo. Do you do that? Does anybody else do that?
I do. And then you catch yourself on like the sixth play and you're like, should I change it?
Well, no. Yeah, because then you relearn the lyrics and, you know, this
re-sing
song makes
your favorite parts.
This song makes me very happy. And it's Meatless Monday, by the way, you guys. And I'm going to give a shout out to my new Meatless Monday. I'm actually having, let's see, it's called No Evil. Hold on.
There she goes.
Okay. Hold on. I got to reach again.
There's the other one.
Okay. So it's protein for all in plants we trust, no evil foods. And so I found these at Whole Foods, and I'm not getting paid for this. I just absolutely love Meatless Mondays because it's your opportunity to once a week give the animals a break and save water at the same time. And so no evil, the stallion, Italian sausage, and then Comrade Cluck. And I'm going to be making the Comrade Cluck tonight with some wild rice and green beans.
Oh, yum. Let me see the box.
There you go. So wait, hold on. I want to read this because this is interesting. Hold on. It says to you. My contacts messed up this morning. I usually carry extra contacts in my purse and I don't. So.
It always happens that way.
Yeah, so I've got my right eye's blurry.
Just close it. Just use your left.
I'm a one-eyed girl. Okay. So. You just saved a boatload of water. One person eating a plant-based diet saves 1,100 gallons of water every day. That is the equivalent of 22 bathtubs of water. So if you eat Meatless Monday, if you incorporate that into your lifestyle, you can save 22 bathtubs of water. So how great is that?
Awesome.
But, I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to our podcast on Apple. I sound like the queen.
I didn't want to laugh.
Listen to our podcast, a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go to our iHeartMedia, not my iHeartMedia. I am butchering this. Oh my gosh. iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, EnviroMedica, Crazy Water, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Okay.
It's the contact.
It's the contact. I can't read. It's the contact. It's the coffee. It is the exercise that got all my blood moving this morning. For those of you just now listening, I've got Kelsey Ward in studio with me. She is a clairvoyant medium who is known for helping her clients find their true purpose and peace. Kelsey has dealt with a myriad of serious health issues, including cancer and a debilitating autoimmune disease called CRIS. That's chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which she developed from living in toxic mold for 5 years. Kelsey is now happier and healthier than she's ever been and hopes to raise awareness on the severity and commonality of biotoxin illness. You can find her at KelseyCrystal2.com. That's Kelsey with a K, KelseyCrystal2.com. Okay. So great to have you back, Kelsey. Yes,
thank you so much.
You sound like a rock star. Thank you so much. But, you know, can you give us a recap of how you found out that that mold is what was making you sick?
Yeah. So I lived in the Washington, D.C. metro area for 5.5 years. And when I lived in that apartment there, I would constantly get sick, constantly, all the time. I mean, you name it. It was like chronic sinus infections, chronic like lung infections. I developed really bad vertigo, fatigue, insomnia, just all these crazy symptoms I never had prior to that. Mm-hmm. And prior to living there, I was always very healthy. You know, I was a dancer for 14 years. I was very active. And I never really had any health issues prior to living there. And then it was just one health issue after another. And then I also developed both skin and breast cancer as well. So it was just one health issue after another. So then I kept hearing, I don't know, it was, I would always have a really weird kind of musty type smell in my apartment. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend at the time, I would always be like, you don't smell that? And he'd be like, no, what are you talking about? And I was just kind of like, okay. And I kind of just brushed it off for years. And you know, the smell would kind of like progressively get worse and worse and worse. There were a couple of leaks that had happened in the apartment out of the 5 years I lived there.
I know the smell you're talking about too, because I have a friend that has this at their house, and they smell like the smell from being in the house. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because it ends up growing like in your body and stuff, and you know, and getting all of your clothes and everything as well.
Well, and you know, a lot of people think, oh, that's just I don't know if I'm buying this, you know, because when they connect it to so many diseases. But I have to tell you, I've done my homework, and I'm also personal friends with Doug Kaufman, who is the has written many, many books about this and is the founder of Know the Cause, which is a television show that talks about stuff like this all the time. Also, a very highly respected as well, Anthony William, who wrote the book Medical Medium, Thyroid Healing. He talks about this in his book. This is a real legitimate thing that we're talking about here. And actually, on his trigger list, Anthony William, mold is on the trigger list. As you read, it says, as you read through the coming list of the most common thyroid virus triggers, see if any light bulbs go off in you. Does the timing of your symptoms start to make sense with this new perspective? And so this is very real. It is. And a lot of medical doctors, some know it, some of them ignore it, some of them don't know about it. But in the preface of Doug Kaufman's latest book, The Fungus Link to Women's Health Problems, there's a medical doctor that talks about it and says, I firmly believe that many major diseases can be traced back to yeast and fungus entering the body. What proof exists that fungus plays a role in America's top killing diseases? The number one cause of death in America is heart disease, and number two cause of death in America is cancer. So, you know, you were talking about cancer. This is all very real. So let me go to this. What are some common symptoms that you may be exposed to toxic mold for people out there listening?
For me, it was kind of what I had previously mentioned, but also my main symptom was vertigo. It kind of varies for everybody, but I had never had vertigo in my entire life. And then all of a sudden I have this crazy vertigo to where I couldn't get out of bed for like 3 weeks. I couldn't even shower. I couldn't brush my teeth, nothing. Wow. I mean, it was so bad. Yeah. I lost so much weight. I couldn't walk. I had terrible brain fog. That's a really common symptom for a lot of people.
Yes, I read that.
Very bad brain fog. My thyroid became really affected. My hair would fall out in clumps. I developed terrible cystic acne, really dark circles underneath my eyes no matter how much I slept, a lot of ringing in the ears, constant red eyes, constant, you know, sinus infections, lung problems. I even like developed this terrible, terrible cough when I lived there. And I'm not a smoker or anything. Mm-hmm. But when I lived there, I would like literally it sounded like I was hacking up a lung, and I was like, and people would be like, do you smoke now? I'm like, no. And, you know, I guess I never connected the dots until after I moved out of there. But again, you know, that smell kept getting worse in there. And I really didn't even discover that it was mold that was really making me sick until a couple months before I had moved out, because mm-hmm. there was a really bad leak that had occurred before I had moved out. The guy who had lived in the apartment above mine had moved out, and they were like turning over the apartment. And I guess like the water tank had like completely busted open and flooded all into my apartment. And so water started shooting out of like the air vents and in my apartment. Oh, it flooded
wow.
my whole.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was bad. It flooded my whole laundry room, everything. And so then I brought in like a mold tester, mold inspector. And
where does one find a mold tester
right,
inspector?
Can you
is
Google that?
Yeah, you can. There's actually a company that I used, and they are, I believe they're nationwide. I know that they're located here as well in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Called Mold Inspection Testing was the company that I used. Mm-hmm. They're really good. So I had used them, but unfortunately, my apartment would not help me. They wouldn't like test for it themselves.
That's
which
real
is
common, too.
Very it's common.
It's very costly
it's so
to get rid of the mold. Sometimes yes. you have to take down the whole construction.
Yeah. And they don't want to pay for it because it's not in their budget. So right. it's really unfortunate the way that we get treated. I actually moved 6 times in 1 year because mm-hmm. I had so many mold issues and apartments wouldn't help me. And it was just, it wow. became this nightmare. Yeah, it became like a nightmare. But so I brought in a mold tester because they went and test for me, found out it was, you know, really high levels of mold. My walls were 100% saturated in water. But not only did we find mold from that leak, but we found mold everywhere else in the apartment as well.
Wow.
That had been there like the whole time.
Well, so that's crazy. That
yeah.
is really crazy. So
yeah, it's very.
How did you get treatment, and how long did it take you to get well?
So treatment is very, I always say, you know, consistency is really big for treatment. And treatment kind of varies on the person. So there's really no one size fits all approach to treating mm-hmm. biotoxin or mold illness. Mm-hmm. But there is such thing as the Shoemaker protocol. And there's some Western medicine doctors that are certified in this, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of Western medicine doctors that think that this thing isn't, they don't believe that mold can make you sick, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. So the Shoemaker protocol is basically Dr. Richie Shoemaker. He is, I believe he lives in Maryland. I don't think he practices anymore, but it could be mistaken. He developed this protocol for treating anybody of biotoxin illness. So I started researching, you know, Shoemaker protocol, certified protocol doctors near me. This was when I still lived in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area. I found one, and we ran all these tests. So I had 16 tubes of blood taken. And it was the most blood I've ever had taken.
Wow.
And yeah, so, and then she also stuck like a Q-tip up my nose, but it was like a really, really long Q-tip. And she was testing me for Marcons. And what Marcons are, it's, I forgot what it stands for. It's like methyl antibiotic resistant coagulant something something staph. Mm. It's a chronic staph infection that you develop in your nasal cavity from living in mold.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had that so bad. But it's crazy. You know, when I lived in mold, my whole face looked totally different. My face would like swell up. And it's funny, too, because when I lived in mold, I was diagnosed with so many different autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. They also diagnosed me with SLE lupus.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly don't believe right. that I have that. I firmly believe it was mold the whole time. Because mm-hmm. now anytime I'm near mold, my face will swell up.
Wow.
And my nose will swell up. I'll get dark rings underneath my eyes, which, by the way, those are all really common symptoms for anybody listening. And, you know, a lot of doctors who do the Shoemaker protocol or are Eastern medicine type doctors, you know, like naturopathic doctors, functional medicine doctors, a lot of them actually say, no, not all, but some of them do say that, you know, things like lupus or multiple sclerosis or autoimmune diseases like that are usually actually just mold, really. That's what a lot of them say a lot of the times.
Wow.
And it's just more so kind of a matter of detoxing and opening up your detox pathways mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're going to continue talking about it. Everyone mm-hmm. stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be back with Kelsey Ward right after the break. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
What?
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Verbarrientos. I've got V. Mendoza in studio with me and Kelsey Ward. Before we continue on with her discussion about toxic black mold, I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Android Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to all of our great sponsors, companies like Sun Warrior. It is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Another sponsor that I absolutely love, I've got my Terra Flora right here beside me, is Enviromedica. Enviromedica was founded to combat the negative impacts of the modern world with a mission to further the principles of evolutionary medicine as a new paradigm to healing. Their products reflect symbiotic combinations that occur in nature, utilizing only the purest ingredients from around the world. Check them out at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com. And of course, Crazy Water. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881, and it is bottled right here in Mineral Wells, Texas, just a few miles down the road from here in Dallas. And of course, Paleo Magazine, visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store near you and pick up a copy. And the Wellbeing Journal Integration, they are heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. The Wellbeing Journal is now available in both print and digital. And of course, Thorn Research, you have higher standards and so do we. Shop our Thorn dispensary for 20% off and free shipping on every order. You can find our dispensary at oneliferadio.com/thorn. That's T-H-O-R-N-E. And of course, the International Society of Sports Nutrition is the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to promoting the science and application of evidence-based sports nutrition and supplementation. You can learn more about the ISSN at sportsnutritionsociety.org. Okay, Kelsey, let's get back to this. We're talking about toxic black mold continued. And so right before the break, I asked you, how did you get treatment and how long did it take you to get well? Let's continue with that.
Okay. Again, you know, for the Shoemaker protocol, and for the listeners who are just now joining, the Shoemaker protocol is for anybody who's suffering from biotoxin illness, such as mold or heavy metal illness. It was created by Dr. Richie Shoemaker in Maryland. And what they do is, so for me, I had 16 tubes of blood taken. And what they do is they test a lot of different things. And then they'll also do like the swab test in the nasal cavity to test that for the chronic staph infection and things like that. But it also will test, so the 16 tubes of blood tests a lot of different things. It'll test like your hormone levels, your thyroid, and it'll also test to see if you carry the MTHFR gene. I don't know if you've heard of that, or I don't know if that's in his book. Is it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I have heard of it.
Okay. Yeah. So I carry that gene. And so for anybody who carries it, from what I was told by my doctor, who was Shoemaker certified, it basically, if you carry this gene, then your body has a difficult time detoxing any toxins in your body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you are sensitive to mold, such as myself, and you carry this gene, it's going to make it very, very difficult to detox. And it can make you much, much sicker. And that's why a lot of people, you know, some people get very sick around mold, such as myself. And then there's other people who don't really get affected so much by it either. And then I also, I kind of felt like I had exhausted all my options treatment wise in the Northern Virginia area, because the Shoemaker protocol helped me to some extent, but not to the extent that I thought it would. But I think a lot of that too had to do with my mindset when I was living in that area. And really, you know, my mindset and kind of who I was surrounding myself with, what I was eating, what I was watching, because, you know, diet is everything. It's not just,
And there's molds and toxins and mycotoxins, all these things in food.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So we've just scratched the surface. Yes. You're going to have to come back,
yeah,
Kelsey. But that's always a good thing, right?
Yeah. Yes.
This
love
is
to.
A big
Thank
topic.
You.
And
it does.
It does need discussion. Maybe,
yeah, it does.
Maybe we can get Doug Kaufman in here as well.
Yes, but I would love that.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.